Have you ever wished you were bolder? You know, you've had those moments of, oh, I should have, could have, would have. And you live with that regret of not doing or saying something for perhaps a few moments, a few days, or maybe even it haunts you for a lifetime. Well, Fred Joyle is an author, speaker, entrepreneur, and business advisor, and he's going to show you how to be super bold in our conversation today. He co-founded the most successful dentist referral service in the country, 1-800-DENTIST. He has previously written 2 books on marketing, has dabbled in stand-up and improv comedy, acted in bad movies and excellent TV commercials. His latest book, Super Bold, From Underconfident to Charismatic in 90 Days, is an Amazon and Wall Street Journal bestseller and the topic of our conversation today. Fred has once beat Sir Richard Branson in chess and was also a question on Jeopardy. He is an avid cyclist, a below-average tennis player, and even worse, golfer. He lives in Los Angeles. So please get ready for a super bold conversation with Fred Joyle. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed. And as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Well, welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and today I am excited to have our new guest, Fred, on here to talk about his new book and all the things that come along with it. So welcome to the podcast, Fred.
Thank you, Sherry. I'm excited to be here and talk about boldness to your audience.
Yes, I love that subject of being bold. You know, I feel like, I know we were talking before I hit the record button, that I feel like everybody can be a little bolder. Some of us are, I don't know if we're naturally bold. We can talk about that later on your opinion on that. And some are, we work our way up to being bold, but I feel like there's always something that we can get from either working on that bold muscle or increasing it, or just maybe we're like, I've never been bold in my life and give me all you got. Right.
Yeah. So people start at all different levels. I mean, I was painfully shy growing up, but there were other people around me that were confident and bold in some situations. A lot of times they were bold until it mattered, until it was important. They had this general social confidence and boldness. But if it came down to, let's say, asking for the order as a salesperson, or asking someone out that they were really interested in, or selling their products or something like that, you know, they change, they become uncomfortable, and the autonomic nervous system jumps in and hamstrings them.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really, really fun conversation with you. So before we really jump into being bold and super bold, can you share with the audience, the Navigating Your Leadership community, a little bit about who is Fred?
Yeah. Okay. So my claim to fame is I founded a company called 1-800-DENTIST, which is a referral service for dentists. We started it back in the 80s. So it really had its heyday before Google came in strong and disintermediated us. But for 25 years, we were the best way for people to find a dentist in their area. We had the most information, we had the most reviews, we had all of that stuff. And I started it with a friend of mine, but that was a fairly bold move in my life. I had not known what I wanted to do with my life. And as I said, I started out as a very hesitant and underconfident person in a lot of situations. I couldn't ask a girl to dance or ask them out or anything like that. And I couldn't make a cold call. There were all of these things. And I was stacking up the regrets in my life. Missed opportunities, missed fun, missed relationships. And it was really becoming frustrated to the point it was making me angry. And I would see bold people and I would say, why are they like this? I mean, are they born this way? Why don't they experience rejection the way I do? And why do they never seem to regret anything? And it's because they're living full lives. They didn't have that shyness imposed on them. They didn't have that limitation in them. Now, they may have had some more boldness than others. Some people start at different places. But I feel like it was programmed out of me as much as anything. And I had to program it back in. And so it took time. And I would emulate bold people, but it would, you know, it'd always be really uncomfortable. But it was a matter of facing my fears and expanding my comfort zone and clumsily going through life until I wasn't clumsy anymore. And I'm still expanding it, but I have, you know, now evolved my boldness to a point where I want to teach it. This actually started with some high school kids that I was mentoring. And I had said to them, this is 10 years ago now, boldness is a superpower. I said, if anything is possible in your life, if you can summon the boldness to try it, you will reach your dreams. And they were very interested, but they were very much saying, yeah, but how? And so I made a promise that I would write a book about it. And I finally did and refined it to a systematic way that anybody can learn it a lot faster than I did, you know, it's months instead of decades.
I love that. And I know we will get into the method for the listeners to realize like, oh, okay, I see there is this method here on how to create that boldness, because I'm sure what you're saying resonates with a lot of people that they're like, oh yeah, I have so many regrets in my life, those times that I shoulda, coulda, woulda, and I didn't. And we all have those.
Yeah. That's a key phrase. Are you saying I should have blank? That's an indicator that you missed an opportunity that you could have reached. And I saw myself doing it, and I see people do it all the time. And it's painful for me to watch it because it's like, no, you don't know what's on the other side. Oh, just step into the arena. The stuff is there. All the good stuff is there. And that's what reinforced me is every bold move I made blossomed in directions I couldn't have even imagined. And so I just created new neural pathways that said my default mode is going to be to step in, to step up, to speak up.
I love that. And it's interesting. I love that you say the bold, you know, being bold is your superpower, because that's what I call your personal strengths and how the two kind of really they tie together. Because I feel like when you know your talents and themes, that helps you get a little braver, a little bolder. It helps you step into your confidence to say, oh, this is who I am at my best. And when you can really be your best, then you can take your bold method and show up bolder, show up, you know, brighter to the world and have that confidence to do that. So with our new format that we're doing with our guests this year, I would love to kind of take a pause on boldness and share what your top five talents are. Thank you for taking the assessment and a little quick description of them. And my goal as we're doing these conversations is to see where some of those talents, you may even be able to look back like, oh yeah, that totally was always in my life. I could see where that was and how they may have been, you quickly turn them into strengths. And at other times you developed it. It's always been there, but how you developed it to become to bolder, to become more successful, to really start to find your true calling. So we're going to start with your top five or activator, positivity, learner, strategic, and developer. And I'm just going to give the very brief, quick summary of what those mean. And then we'll kind of see how they all weave together in who you are. So okay. Number one was activator. And they are the catalyst who get things started. They turn ideas into action. People exceptionally talented in the activator theme can make things happen by turning thoughts into action. They want to do things now rather than simply to talk about them. They're willing to take risks. Starting to sound familiar?
Yes, pretty much. Excellent self-description.
And I love this. And they're at their best when taking advantage of opportunities others miss.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty much on the money.
Yes. Activators need, they bring to the table a catalytic sense of urgency, and they need less discussion and more action. Then we move to your number two is positivity. And people exceptionally talented in the positivity theme have a contagious enthusiasm. They are upbeat and can get others excited about what they are going to do. They bring contagious energy and enthusiasm, and they need freedom to experience the joy and drama of life. And I have to say that when I saw that you had positivity number two, I knew this was going to be a fun interview. Like, you know, you want positive people, positivity people in your life because they are the fun. They bring the joy. They see the, you know, their cup is always overflowing. So,
yes. And maybe I wasn't always that way. I think I nourished myself with negativity early in life and realized that it was basically poison. It wasn't doing anything for me or my relationships. I think I had friends in spite of that, not certainly because of that, but I abandoned it completely, you know, because I did want that freedom and I did want to bring something positive to people when I was with them. I just didn't know how to do it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And when you read Fred's book, you will see, like, for me, knowing, you know, the strengths, I could, when I read, started reading his book, I could see the positivity of you threaded into the book, which makes it a joy to read. So.
Oh, good. Well, I did try to make it readable. You know, a lot of books are, the content is great, but you got to earn every bit of information. So, mm-hmm. you know, and that's my advertising background, too, is I've learned how to communicate in an interesting and an appealing way, just mm-hmm. an effective way, essentially.
Right. And then number three is learner. And then people exceptionally talented in the learner theme have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve. The process of learning rather than the outcome excites them. They bring a learning perspective and excitement for the learning process, and they need exposure to new information and experiences. How do you feel like learners showed up in your life?
I've always had this appetite for new information, particularly about how people behave. But I mean, the list of categories that I can dive into, you know, all different categories of science and medical and healthcare information, longevity, you know, leadership, decision making, and history. It's just like I just keep trying to absorb everything everywhere. You see these books behind me. I probably read 40 books a year. I'm not using all the information, but it's all getting absorbed in there. It's just fascinating to me. I'm always looking to upgrade my understanding. And I do the same thing with people. I learn from people as much as I learn from books. It's like, I'm not so much interested in projecting what I know as finding out what they know and how they learned it, how they know it, why they think that way. That's what interests me in people. And so I may say one or two things to them, but I want them to say 20 things to me.
I totally agree. Learners in my top 10, and everything you said is just so spot on. Like, and if you, I could show you my, yeah, I have the bookshelves. And yeah. I can't say I read 40 books a year. I would like to, but same thing. I love the process of learning and I love learning from people. And I think that's probably why we both went into coaching. And we love to be on the podcast because to me, that's why I love doing these interviews. I get to learn from people like you.
Yeah. And as I do podcasts as well. And that's, you're always picking something interesting up that you weren't expecting, a new perspective, a new idea, a new technique, or a good book or a good mentor or even a great quote. That I love finding those things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So another one we have in common too, Fred, is your number four, which is strategic. And people exceptionally talented in the strategic theme create alternative ways to proceed. faced with any given scenario, they can quickly spot the relevant patterns and issues. They bring creative anticipation, imagination, and persistence, and they need freedom to make mid-course corrections. And I don't know about you, but I definitely saw your method.
Yes.
Everything was like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Why you created a method to be bolder. That's your strategic brain at work.
Right. It's like, how does this happen? How can I make this happen in a consistent way? And I do have an organizational brain. I ran a company with 250 people, and we basically had to invent every aspect of that business. And there were several mid-course corrections, minor and major, along the way. And so you can train yourself to be creative in that way and never be so attached to a good idea that a better one doesn't get executed.
Yes, yes. And then the last one's number 5. And just for the listeners and for you, Fred, I know this was kind of a newer experience with the Clifton Strengths, that if you're not familiar with Clifton Strengths, there's 34 talents and themes. So we just unlocked the top 5, but you could go in and always unlock the full report to see everything. But we're just really looking at top 5 today. So the number 5 is your developer, and people exceptionally talented in the developer theme recognize and cultivate the potential in others. They spot the signs of each small improvement and derive satisfaction from evidence of progress. They bring a commitment, time, and energy to human growth. They need someone to invest in. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, that's the book in essence. Is I'm not trying to get rich or famous from the book. I'm trying to reach into as many people's lives as possible and show them that they can build their boldness muscle to an extraordinary level, radically more than they imagined. And what I get, and I've done it with other books as well that that were in the marketing world, but at the same time, the book would resonate with people, and they would apply the stuff in the book and come back to me and say, you know, I didn't know what the heck I was going to do with my dental practice, and I read your book. And then like a year later, I'm up 20%. The team's functioning differently. I made them all read the book. That's the gratification for me, is I want to be able to take whatever I know, whatever I've learned, whatever I've created, and move somebody up, expand what the quality of their life, the achievement of their life, whether it's more success, more money, more love, more fun. That's what I'm trying to help them to do. And, you know, the organizational side, the strategic side, is trying to do it in a systematic way.
Yeah, I love that. I love how all these, you know, we can really see all the talents really weaved into exactly what you're doing. And to me, that's what it takes to be successful. And that's why I think what you're doing right now is really not only going to make, you know, your life successful, but touch on so many different people's lives, like you just shared, because you're working in your talents and strengths. You're using your God-given talents to create this and to share it with the world so that they can turn around and become super bold and share their gifts and talents, because we have to be bold to share our gifts with the world.
Exactly. And that's really what it's about. And people say, well, I don't want to become somebody else. I'm not interested. I don't want to become a show off or, you know, attention grabber or something like that. And I always explain to them, I say, no, this is about using boldness to bring the full you into every situation. You're suppressing the revealing of your full self in a lot of situations. You're preventing yourself from having fun. You're depriving people of getting to know the full you, the full, exciting, interesting you. Now, you're not going to be interesting to everybody. Nobody is. Nobody's loved by everybody. You don't have to be. But do you want your tribe, the people that are important to you, to get the full you? Do you want to extract the most out of life? Because it's finite. And, you know, I always tell people, I said, we're in the game of life And we don't know how long the coach is going to let us play. So play full out. And that's really all. Boldness allows you to play your life full out as the most you can bring to the world.
I love that. And this is a good spot to, I want to read an excerpt from your book that really spoke to me, because for anybody that's listened to me for a while, you know, one of my sayings is life is short, so we have to enjoy the journey. And my thing is, like, why go through life not loving what you're doing? Why go through life not being at your best? Why go through life not being bolder? Why go through life like that? And so this really spoke to me, and I want to read it, but I also want to put a pin in, I want to talk a little bit too when we come back, is why do you feel like people don't want to change? So we'll come back to that in a minute, but I just want to mention that before I forget. So this is the excerpt from the book, and it says, because life is too short. It's too short to let other people decide what you're capable of. It's too short to sit waiting for your dreams to come true. It's too short to spend time waiting for the perfect mate to come along. It's too short to think other people care if you blame them for your unhappiness. It's too short to put off taking responsibility for everything that is important to your life, in your life. It is too short to be lonely one more second. To not be alone except when you choose to be. It's too short not to laugh more than you complain, smile more than you frown, and win more than you lose. It's too short to spend it avoiding all risk. It's too short to spend it avoiding all pain. It's too short to spend your time judging other people. It's too short to avoid chasing your dreams with determination, persistence, and a little madness. So look before you leap, but no matter what, leap. Wow. Where did that come from, Fred?
40 or 50 years of paying attention to what I was doing wrong and what I was missing out on, and then discovering what worked, and then losing people and in your life, and going to yourself, wow, they're all out of time. You know, my dad, I got a phone call that my dad died. It was this moment. And I was in my 20s at the time. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm never going to talk to him again. His whole track is ended. And there was a powerful message to me, you know, and I'll go into that a little bit more, because the day before I had written him a letter telling him how much I loved him and appreciated all the sacrifices he had made for us. I'd never expressed any of this stuff because I was busy living my life, and we take our parents for granted. So I thought, I'm going to do this. I put it all in this letter and mailed it, and he died the next day. And so this letter alone taught me, we don't have all the time in the world to say what we need to say. And I expanded it to try what we need to try, do what we ought to be doing, because the time is running out. And it's important to understand that in your 20s rather than in your 60s, because life is short. And you know, some of the things I said, like, it's too short to not take responsibility for everything that happens in your life, because, and to believe that if you blame other people, that they care. They don't. If you're unhappy and you want to blame them, it's not going to change their life at all. It's totally changing yours, because you're sitting around waiting for it to get better. Mm. So those are, if I had to sum the whole book up, it's of life lessons, it's those things that they compelled me to create a bold life, and they should compel you.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. My mom passed away when I was in my 30s. So I think that does, those moments in our lives do create who we are and how we choose to live, or they should, and they don't always, yeah, but they should. And to learn those those valuable, I don't know if I'd call them lessons, but those moments that this is how I want to live my life moving on, because we don't know, life is short. And, you know, we should write the letter, send the letter, or make the phone call and let people know, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Yeah. The last thing I say to my brother, whenever I leave him either on the phone or, you know, I'm walking out of his house, or is I love you. Cause that's the last thing I want him to have heard, if that's the last thing he hears from me. And I want that in my heart. I want that, you know, I know so many people who carry grudges and resentments and stuff like that. Again, thinking that the other person cares. And all they're doing is depriving themselves of that release, of that shucking off that burden that they're carrying around, so that they can live a joyful life, a loving life, a caring life, a forgiving life. It takes boldness to forgive people. It takes boldness to apologize to people. And some people, they can't apologize. It's like they're cutting off a finger. And when you learn how to do that, you realize it's a gift you're giving yourself as much as the other person. Because you're releasing yourself from something that's holding you back from having a full and satisfying and loving life and chasing your dreams. You can't chase your dreams if you're busy resenting everybody.
Right, right. And that forgiveness is more, it's for you. It's not for them.
Yeah.
It's good for them to hear too, but it really does release a lot from us. And I'll admit, I struggle with that sometimes. I'm a Cajun background. So my husband will admit, like, what are you talking about? You hold grudges. So.
Well, it's you know, just to drop a little secret, my next book is going to be about how to stop holding grudges and the damage it does. But we won't get into it too much, but I will say what inspired it is this simple quote is, resentment is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies. And that's what people do. They go like, they'll tell themselves this stuff and all this, you know, they'll run all of these bad chemicals through their own body with their resentment. The other person may not even know. And if they know, they don't care. They sure don't care as much as you. And so releasing yourself from that changes your life.
Right, right, right. So many times they don't even know that you're mad at them.
Yeah. Or they don't remember the incident that you are.
You've been holding on to for years,
wound.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. All right.
And
well,
then
we'll
sometimes
say,
they go, was that me? And then you go, oh, wait, actually, it wasn't you. you aimed it at the wrong person. So,
all right. Well, we'll save that discussion for when that book comes out.
But, yes, exactly.
So going back with the boldness, with that question, then what do you feel like keeps, you know, maybe they're listening to this right now and they're thinking, okay, I want all that. I get it. Life is short. I want to have all those things, but yet what keeps people stuck in that but yet place?
It doesn't hurt enough. That's why there isn't enough pain. They found a way to dull, or the pain is there, but they found a way to hide from it, to mask it, to suppress it, to numb it, instead of digging into it and say, what am I afraid of? And what do I regret? And why do I regret it? And how do I not create more regrets? What is my hesitation causing? Hesitation is the opportunity killer. This is what I found in my own life, and I see it with everybody. When we hesitate and we miss opportunities, fun, relationships, and they go away. The opportunity disappears, whether it's you think you want to go talk to that man across the room, you think he's really attractive or interesting, you finally get up the nerve after 30 minutes, and as you walk across the room, another woman walks up and starts talking to him. This happens to people all the time. And it's a metaphor for how many other ways that it happens, whether they, I should tell my boss how, you know, all the work I did on this project so that he knows how much I did, or I should be asking my boss for a promotion because she needs to know the value I can bring to the business. You're not bragging about yourself, but you got to be able to talk about yourself and not label it bragging. See, I don't want to brag about myself. That's, guess what? Your life doesn't hurt enough to step to change. So you're gonna use an excuse. We're masters at excuses, masters at delays, masters at rationalization. Oh, it's not that bad. Human beings change when it hurts enough, when the pain is too great, when the, you know, to me, I it was just an accumulation of a bunch of missed opportunities and a couple of big ones to the point where I said, I just can't be like this. This is making me furious upon reflection. So if you want to change, reflect on those things that you could have done, you should have done, you ought to have done, and how your life would have been different had you only done those, and say, that stops today. Because that's what's going to, you got to mind that. You can't mask it. You can't have four cocktails every night and go, today wasn't that bad, right? I'll get to my dreams tomorrow. Yeah, getting to my dreams tomorrow. It's like that, I always remember this sign in Dick's Last Resort, the restaurant, free beer tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. And so you got to get to your dreams every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you find once people do break through this and they get that boulder and they start saying yes, or they start taking those bold actions, does it snowball?
Yes. It's because, and right down to the neuroscience of it, we have all of these neural pathways that are our safety behaviors that create the underconfidence and the shyness and the hesitation. When you start acting boldly, it creates a new loop because there's a reward for the boldness. Almost always there is some reward for it. And you start to literally widen the neural pathways to behave in a bold way rather than a hesitant or shy or underconfident way. And those underconfident neural pathways will atrophy. So it builds and builds and builds. What I'm capable of doing now from a boldness standpoint, I can literally walk up to anyone. It doesn't matter how famous or rich or aloof even they are. I can walk up to them and have a normal conversation and probably engage them. And if I miss opportunities, it's incredibly rare. It's because I was picking between two is what happened. But it started very gradually. But it as you say, it snowballs, because what you're doing is you are expanding your comfort zone by moving into your discomfort zone until it's not comfortable anymore. It's the same thing as overcoming your fear of heights by gradually working your way up a ladder and going, well, it's still not dangerous. I still haven't fallen. And your body goes, I'm wrong about this. My reactions are inaccurate. And we have this thing where we interpret psychological danger the same way as physical danger in our bodies. We have the same autonomic response to danger in both forms. So, which is why when we get anxious, oh, I got to go make a speech. I can't make a speech. I'm so nervous about speaking in front of people. Your memory gets bad. Your cognitive skills are impaired. It's because you're not even breathing and you're tensed up and your body is in fight or flight mode and it's in flight or freeze mode most of the time. That's not useful. That's great if you're on the African plain and the saber-toothed tiger is stalking you. It's terrible in life where you're trying to accomplish something. So you have to reinterpret that danger as growth. And once you do it, you just keep growing. You get wider and wider. It's just like exercise. You could start exercising. 15 minutes is about all you can handle. Eventually, you can run 5 miles and you know, bench press 200 pounds and all of that stuff. It's a gradual process, but now you carry that strength with you everywhere you go.
Hmm. I love that. And I know from my own like experience that as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking of times that I was bolder and did things. And I know, and even teaching other people, you know, I was in network marketing. So I was trying to get consultants to go talk to somebody or ask for the sale or do all these things on my team members. And the first time you do it, you think the earth is going to open up and swallow you. Up.
Yes. Yeah. Or you hope it does. So
right,
that,
right.
So that this
before
will
you get
stop.
There, right?
Yeah.
But then once you do it, you realize like, oh, even if they yeah. said no, it wasn't as bad as, like you said, we imagine in our head and we feed our bodies this all, you know, we get all upset about it. So what is your method, your pride method for becoming bolder? And I know they have to read the book to get all the details, but in the
yes.
Briefs,
so I'm gonna summarize the system, which pride is an acronym, but behind that is the thought, why wouldn't you want to live a life that you're proud of? It's not this is not an egotistical thing, but I want actions that I'm proud of. I want accomplishments that I'm proud of. I want relationships that I'm proud of. So pride is an important word, but there are five steps in the acronym. The P stands for preparation, R, relaxing, I is insight, D is dosage, and E is everyday action. So let me break it down because preparation comes first because we don't train ourselves or get trained for social interaction. There's very little of that. We think we should be able to walk into a room and meet people and be able to just present presentations in front of people and meet strangers. We should know how to do that. And if we don't, there's no way to change that. So, but we don't even teach people how to shake hands or make eye contact and things like that. All this stuff, you know, we learn math and physics and every other darn thing, but we don't learn to have a physical encounter with somebody and make them interested in us. And so the preparation is something as simple as, oh, I'm going to talk to the person in front of me in Starbucks line. What am I going to say? I'm going to compliment them. You need something other than how you doing. That's not starting a conversation. That's ending a conversation. That's like waving at somebody. So you need to prepare what you're going to say. Oh, that, you know, I just wanted to let you know those eyeglasses that you've got are really interesting. I'm wondering where you got them. Or any number of things that you just prepare yourself to say. And then, and whatever it is, now you've got to do a presentation. You want to prepare yourself to do a presentation or a speech. One of the beautiful things about being really prepared is it's the foundation for spontaneity. Now you've got a fallback thing of what you could say, but maybe you discover something in the moment because you've got this stuff prepared. You don't have to do it as you memorized it. You got that there if you need it, but now you can discover in the moment. So that's a perspective on preparation, but it's really important to do that. And in all the exercises in my book, this you use these steps to do the exercises. The second step is relaxing. People, when I was young and nervous and anxious, people would just, you need to just relax. It's like, that's an interesting thought. How would I do that? And they don't know. Well, the reality is it is very simple to relax yourself if you know how. It comes down to checking your physiology and figuring out where you're tense and releasing that, just literally shaking it off, twisting it off, and then breathing. Just use your breath. Your breath will relax you. And there's a technique called the vagus breath, V-A-G-U-S, not vagus like you've been up all night in Las Vegas breath. The vagus nerve, which runs down the center of your body. You vibrate that and it will relax you. I did it yesterday because I told you I was in a car accident and I was getting all stressed out because the other person is lawyered up and everything. And it was like I was getting really anxious about it. And I actually just did this breath three times. I just vibrated the nerve and it relaxes you. And when you start to relax, it relaxes you more. When you realize you can control your state, it makes you more relaxed. Just like if you're nervous and somebody says, what are you so nervous about? Now you're twice as nervous because you're thinking, oh my gosh, they notice I'm nervous. It's even worse than I thought. And so it makes you sweat even more and you lose control. So you can relax yourself. And when you do, now your cognitive skills come back. Your creativity comes back. The next step of the Pride Method is insights. And there are four insights I lay out in the book. I'll just give you a couple of them. One of the key ones is people are not thinking about you anywhere near as much as you think they are. Who are they thinking about? Themselves, right? They'll think about you for a few minutes and then they'll go back to themselves. And the important thing to remember is, are they accurate? Do they know you at all? So why are you worrying about what they think? If you can let that go, let go of what other people are thinking about you that don't know you. And this is what bold people do. They have no concern about the people whose opinions don't matter to them. It bounces right off of them. So what if somebody thinks I'm a show off? I don't know them. They don't know me. I'm not a show off. I'm trying to make sure everybody has a good time. I'm bringing out the full me. If that makes you uncomfortable, that's kind of your thing, not mine. Because if it bothers you that I'm enjoying myself, you need to mind that a little bit and find out what's going on with you. And so when you have that insight that if just because somebody, let's say you're driving along and you cut somebody off without really thinking and they yell out the window, they call you a jerk. Does that make you a jerk? Why would you? No. So you don't take that on. You go, I'm not a jerk. So why would you worry about all these other? Oh, they're all going to laugh at me. Like who? Name some of these people, right? And why? Tell me why you care about them. And explain to me how well they know you. We're masters of having judgments about people all the time. And we're wrong 95% of the time. We judge people by their hair, by their clothes, by their size, their height. You know, like we got a million ways to instantly judge people. And we're always wrong. So that's the same thing that's happening to you. Let it go. And then the other big thing that bold people know is that 99% of the time, no matter what you do, nothing bad happens. Nothing bad happens unless you label it as bad. Oh, I was rejected. I was hurt. They laughed at me. It was embarrassing. I was humiliated. Embarrassment's a choice. You don't have to choose to be embarrassed. I could spill wine at myself at dinner with a bunch of people and go, oh no, they've got a big stain. They're probably going to think I'm a slob and clumsy and everything. Or I could just say, this is why my dry cleaner loves me. And everybody laughs and that's it. It's over. I chose not to be embarrassed. So when you don't label it as bad, everything is good. A failure is not bad because it's got information. Oh, it's a step up. Failure is only bad if you retreat from it and never try anything ever again. So those are some of the insights that allow you to expand your boldness. The next thing is dosage. The D stands for dosage. Control the intensity of the experience, then control how intense it is to venture into your comfort zone. Don't go so deep that it's traumatic and you retreat deep into your comfort zone never to come out again. You want to, it's the same principle as improv comedy. You learn how to do improv comedy non-verbally at first, and then gradually get up to the point where you can create an entire scene without any preparation in front of a live audience. You don't leap to the walking on stage and going, could we take a suggestion and try to create a scene? You learn, you build this ability gradually by controlling the dosage of the experience. You build your boldness muscle by controlling the intensity of the experience. And that's what my exercises are, five different levels, starting at a nonverbal level, working your way up to doing some really crazy stuff. But it doesn't start with level five. It starts at level one. And it's all about building that boldness muscle on a steady basis so that it's a constant reward loop. The final thing is E, which is everyday action. If you want to change yourself, change anything, work on it every day, even if it's for 5 minutes or 1 minute. Get to it every day, because this transforms how your brain sees you. This is a really powerful thing, is when you dabble at something, your brain knows you're a dabbler. When you're a weekend warrior, you get to it when you feel like it. Your brain knows that. If you do something every day, whether it's play the guitar or the piano or try to learn Spanish or make sure you hug your kids, whatever it is that you do every day, that's who you are. Your brain says, oh, I'm a guitar player. I'm a writer. I'm a singer. I'm a parent. I'm a loving parent. All of that stuff, it aggregates because of what you do every day. And that aggregation is important, because our dreams decay not because they're so difficult. It's because we don't get to them. Mm-hmm. And a month goes by, and a year goes by, and a decade goes by. When you get to something every day, you move the ball down the field. It may be an inch, it may be 10 yards, but every day you're moving it down the field. And you want to build your boldness muscle every day. You don't want to go to sleep without a bold action.
I love that. Yeah, that compound effect. And I also love, I don't remember who I've heard it from, probably multiple people, about that. Do something you're afraid of. And I don't know if it's Darren Hardy. He talks about how his dad, I could be totally misquoting who it was, but basically they were raised in a family that at dinner time, they had to share what was something they did that day that they were afraid of.
Some amazing parenting.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And teaching people that it's okay to fail, because it's, you know, we fail forward to success.
It's the illusion that fear is what's telling you to avoid stuff. It's, I mean, fear of rattlesnakes, that's a reasonable fear to have. Right. Okay. but fear of talking to people is an unreasonable fear to have. And it comes to this thing that a lot of people understand, is that, and certainly your husband as a firefighter knows this, is that courage is not the absence of fear. It is the action in the face of fear.
Right. Exactly.
It's a big difference. Yes. No, but the people who are bold and brave are not fearless. They have just decided to, the fear is not controlling their behavior. They are acknowledging it and acting anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it also goes back to, like with the case of the firefighter too, it's preparation. They've prepared, so they know what their job is. So now they can be courageous because they know how to handle the situation. They're not going in unprepared. That would be stupid. That would be foolish to go into a burning building not prepared, but they're prepared and they're ready to, they know they're capable of doing that because they practiced it. They've done it every day. They're ready to do that next step. So I love this. And as we start to wrap things up, because as always, the time just flies by. I think I could spend another hour talking with you, Fred.
Thank you. I'm sure we could easily.
I have one big question for you, and then we'll close with any last minute thoughts. And if you have another book to recommend, or I mean, I feel like everybody listening just needs to go grab your book. I will put the link in the show notes, and then we'll finish with a quote that you love. But I have to know, what's the boldest thing you've ever done?
The boldest thing I ever did was start this business, because I had no idea how to run a business, but I convinced potential customers that it was going to work. I convinced my family, who helped invest in us to get started, not a lot of money, but we couldn't lose it. They needed the money. And so, but the list of bold moves are so every, I try to fill my life with them so that I can't keep track. I met Richard Branson and he asked me if I played chess. And I hadn't played in 40 years. So I said yes instead of no. And he sat down, and it began this whole week of he was finding me to play chess, and we would talk about politics and everything like that. That was one of the most satisfying bold moves. And had I been, you know, shy Fred would have gone, oh no, I haven't played in a long time. You know, that's, I missed an amazing opportunity to get to meet probably one of the people I admire most in the world, because that'll stop you. That'll inhibit you, because you, in their mind, they are some, you know, you are not worthy. Okay. And so you're going to stop telling yourself that too.
Mm-hmm. They're human, but, just like us.
Yeah. But really the blossoming of everything that came from starting that business in so many ways, creating so many good lives for the people that work there. I got to work with my brother for 25 years in the business. Amazing rewards from doing something really, really uncomfortable. I did not like going door to door trying to get dentists to sign up for this program, but I did it every day, and the business just kept building. So that's it.
I love that. Well, I would put that Richard Branson up there with the boldest thing too. So that's pretty cool. I love both of those stories. And yes, starting a business takes bold action for sure, but it's so worthwhile. So is there another book that you would recommend to the listeners that are mostly leaders, managers on here, and a quote to leave them with, Fred?
There's so many books that I think are great. And, you know, there's in the arc of great leadership. I love Robert Iger's book, the CEO of Disney, The Ride of a Lifetime, because it really talks about how he grew his business and his executive skills a lot of times by being the second in command or third in command. And then when he finally stepped up to take over Disney, he made one bold move after another that exploded what Disney was. It bought, you know, Pixar and Marvel and Lucasfilms and eventually Fox Films. I mean, these things were unbelievable compliments to the Disney brand, which was already phenomenal. But he said, we need to go beyond Walt. But it was a career of honing these skills as a very humble executive, but eventually a very bold executive in terms of what he executed. But it's because people trusted his wisdom and experience and vision.
Yeah. And I'm going to put a plug out there. We just took my grandkids to see Sing 2, talking about Disney. Must see. So fun. Talk about bold action. Like the characters in the movie, so many bold actions taken in there. So really cool. And any quote that you would like to leave with that? I know before you mentioned Tommy Lasorda, I have that here, or anything else, any other quotes that you have?
Well, what I like to do is teach people a mantra to tell themselves, which can change everything, which is, I belong everywhere. Whatever situation you're in, if there's a voice telling you don't belong here, or you're not worthy of this person or this situation, or you don't, whatever's stopping you, just stop and say, I belong here. I belong everywhere. Because you do. Everybody, we're all just human beings. Somebody could be, I've been in rooms where I'm the brokest person in the room, the least successful person in the room. I don't walk around feeling sorry for myself and embarrassed to talk to people. I'm amazed that I'm there and talking to them, but they're all just people.
Right. I love that. I belong here. Well, this has been a true delight, and I really appreciate you taking the time. And I don't know if the listeners or even yourself, if you could, I definitely could see the activator and positivity, and you're a learner and the strategic and definitely developer weaved throughout the conversation, and how you really do use all your talents to create not only one business, but now this other business, and to help others develop into the people and to the bolder people that they're designed to be. Any other last minute thoughts you'd like to share?
First of all, it's important to know that this book is about doing something. It's not about reading something. It's not a book of ideas. It's a book of actions to build your strength and boldness muscle so that you can have the life you deserve. And the only person you need permission from to have the life you want is you. Keep that in mind.
I love that. And spoken like a true activator, you just jump in and do it, right? Let's just go to work. You'll figure it out along the way. Well, thank you for sharing all of this on the podcast. It really has been a pleasure today, Fred.
Thank you so much, Sherry. I hope this was valuable for everyone out there.
My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.